Right. Well, just over the course of this past week, it's been a mixed bag of data from the US. We've had some indications of slowing in some of the indicators, but other key ones, like initial jobless claims, are still pointing to a very, very tight labour market. And, of course, right at the end of last week, we had the Jackson Hole Symposium of central bankers. I'll get onto that in a minute. But just taking the data first. So we had things like July existing home sales. We had July new home sales. Each of those went in different directions. So existing home sales were down by 2.2%, which was weaker than expected. But then they were completely offset by new home sales, which were expected to rise by only 0.2%, rose by 4.4% for the month of July. We also had old-style manufacturing and services sector PMIs. As far as the manufacturing sector in the US is concerned, that is getting softer. And yeah, that's what we expect to see in most of these economies. It's the goods sector which is actually weakening off a bit. And the old-style PMI came down to 47 from 49.0, going back the previous month. Also, the services sector PMI, this is the one that's been holding up. You know, it's been services which have really been driving things in most economies and have countered the weakness which has been running through the goods sector. This one's just come back a bit. On this indication, it's come back to 51 from 52.3. That 51 is still above the expansion contraction line, but it's far of it now. The initial jobless claims, though, when they came through, down to 230,000 from 240,000 the week before. So a clear indication that, you know, we've still got some residual strength running through the labour market. And that's obviously something which is worrying the Fed in terms of the stickiness of inflation and getting it under control over time. We also had later in the week durable goods orders. They were on the soft side, down 5.2%, although core orders were up by 0.5%. And right at the end of the week, the August Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, which was the final report for the month, and suggests that there has been some softening in the later responses, because it was initially 71.6. They thought there'd be a little bit of softening to 71.2, came back to 69.5, so just a hint of weakness running through there. Now, running through to Jackson Hole, and as far as Jackson Hole is concerned, the talks we had from Jerome Powell, when he was pressed, he's still indicating that they're worried about the stickiness of inflation. So whilst conceding that the economy there is going okay, but you're getting those signs that things are coming under control and are starting to bite into inflation, what they're worried about is that inflation's going to be higher for a long period of time. So one of the key messages really coming from Jackson Hole is something that the bond market is starting to take to heart at the moment. We've had longer-term bond yields which have been getting sticky, in the case of the US above 4% for a 10-year bond yield and marching a bit higher, is trying to find what we think the long-term bond yield should be in this type of environment. And the type of talk that's coming from Jerome Powell at the moment is don't expect them to be bringing interest rates down anytime soon. And they're still on inflation watch. So it's just that pressure point there for longer-term bond yields, which the neutral rate, as it's termed, for the longer term, looks as if it's going to be a lot higher in future than it's been over the last 10 or 20 years. And that's what's keeping those longer-term rates pretty high. This week in the US, the key things we'll be watching, there's a few of them. One is the alternative inflation measure, the core personal consumption expenditure deflator. That's out on Thursday. And that one looks as if it's getting pretty sticky, above 4% year on year. Market expects that the month on month will be 0.2%. That would lift the annual rate to 4.2% from 4.1%, just an indication of stickiness in inflation. Initial jobless claims were down at 230,000 last week. They're expected to be around about the 235,000, so still very, very firm. And then right at the end of the week, we've got the non-farm payrolls coming through. And non-farm payrolls at this stage, whilst they're expected to be down a little from last month, they're still reasonably strong. So the market expectation on Friday for Friday is that non-farm payrolls will lift 170,000 after being up 187,000 the month before. Average hourly earnings look as if they're going to be pretty sticky too, up 0.3% month on month. That would keep the annual rate of change in average hourly earnings at 4.4%. So obviously that's a little bit on the high side as far as the Fed's concerned. And also the August unemployment rate, that looks as if it's going to stay down at 3.5%. You know, that's about as low as it's been in the US since 1969. So you know, that's way too tight for the labour market, for the Fed, and it's where that pressure point is still there to raise rates going forward. Also on Friday, we have the August ISM manufacturing PMI coming out. That was 46.4 going back to July. Looks as if it's going to be around somewhere in the 46s again for the month of August. Rough rule of thumb with the manufacturing PMIs in the US, they herald recession when you get down into the low 40s for 2 or 3 months. We haven't been down there this cycle yet. We've got into the sort of mid to high 40s. So we're still not got clear signals out of the US that there's real recession risk moving ahead. Obviously, that will change if the Fed has to keep raising rates. But at the moment, still in that sort of soft landing type feeling for the US economy. Now moving to China, the only thing we had last week really was another small interest rate cut coming through from the People's Bank of China. This is in response to, you know, over the last month we've had some disappointingly weak data out of China, which suggests that, you know, they're not picking up that well after, you know, lowering all those restrictions going back 6 to 12 months ago. And so the PBOC, it's their prime rate they dropped this time. Going back a short while ago, it was their one-year rate that they dropped. This one they dropped by 10 basis points to 3.45%. This is not really going to make much difference. Key problem in China is that they have way too low a return on investment, they have way too much savings, and they have way too little retail spending. All that's got to change because they can't rely, as they have in the past, on exports to drive growth or, for that matter, fixed investment spending. There's no, I think the rate of return on fixed investment spending, whether it's public or private in China, is now very, very low. It's very reminiscent of the problems that Japan had going back through the 1980s and 1990s. It's almost getting into that same sort of issue of growth getting sticky at a low point. You know, be watching what comes out of China, but there's not much they can do about things unless they can congeal somehow their households to take up the running and spend a lot more and save a lot less. Now, that requires a massive vote of comfort and confidence in the government, and that's an issue in China. So these things are going to be problematic for quite a while. Now, moving to what's coming out of China this week is purchasing managers' indices come out at the end of the month, running into the new month. And right at the end of this week, Thursday, we'll get the August official manufacturing purchasing managers' index. It was a 49.3 going back to July. It looks as if it'll be somewhere in the 49s for August. 49.5 is the market expectation. The non-manufacturing PMI, 51.5. There's no market expectation on that, but yeah, hopefully it can stay above 50. And on Friday, we have the cakes in the private sector manufacturing PMI coming out. And that one was 49.2, looks as if it would be around about 49.5. So on the soft side for those lead indicators. We didn't have a great deal in Australia last week, but this week we get into things like July retail sales. We actually, we did have the some long-term thinking from the Treasurer, so, you know, sort of we had the intergenerational report. This is you know, sort of diverting attention away from short-term problems to longer-term problems where we can have a big think tank about and 40-year forecasts. We can't be judged on those anytime soon. And so it's sort of that sort of trying to move people away from focusing on near-term cost of living, what we can do about that, and near-term issues relating to labour market productivity. Yeah, none of those. obviously capable of being resolved quickly. So you're getting a lot of this longer-term thinking that's coming out from government on issues at the moment, and that's what we saw last week. But moving into this week, we'll get the data through and showing where we are. Today we've got July retail sales coming out. Retail sales had a very large fall last month, 0.8%. We should get a little bit of a bounce on that, but looking still pretty soft, looking for plus 0.3% on that. On Wednesday, we'll get July home building approvals coming out. They had a fall last month after a big rise the month before, probably down again by about 2% for the most recent month. We get the July CPI, the monthly CPI, comes out Wednesday as well. That was at 5.5%. Market's hoping for 5.2%. Have to be a bit wary on this one because there was some lift in petrol prices running through the month. So just watching that one to see where that one comes in. Obviously, the Reserve Bank would hope that it's still showing some signs of moderation. And then right at the end of the week, Wednesday going into Thursday, we get some Q2 reports, which will lead into GDP that comes out for Q2 in the first week or so of September. And we get Q2 construction work done. That was up, going back to Q1, by 1.8%. It should have been up again, probably around about 1%, and be making a small contribution to GDP growth when that comes out. On Thursday, we get Q2 private capital expenditure. And that one, too, had a reasonably big rise on investment in plant and machinery, 2.4% back in Q1. There should be another rise, even though it was quite big in Q1, probably up 1.1%. There's a tax reason for that. You know, there's a lot of reasons why people try to get their plant machinery in before the end of the tax year for June. So we should see that little bit of a lift running through there. Now, as far as Europe's concerned, we had the August manufacturing and services sector PMI came out. These are a little bit worrying now because in August, the manufacturing PMI is down at 43.7. Now, that is in that sort of territory, which suggests that you've got potential for recession ahead. The services sector PMI in Europe, too, which had been traveling comfortably in mid-50s, working its way down to low 50s over recent months, fell below 50, which is a bit of a surprise for the most recent month, and it's down at 48.3 from 50.9. So Europe, uniquely, you've got both the manufacturing and the services sector PMI, both sub 50, both clearly pointing towards recession. But the problem is you've still got stickiness running through inflation, and you've still got still a pretty tight labour market there. And we get those indicators coming out later this week as well. We get the preliminary August CPI. There's hope that it'll come down to 5.1% year on year from 5.3%, and that the core CPI will come down to 5.3 from 5.5. Now, these are still too high. We also get the July unemployment rate, which is expected to come down, or is expected to stay at 6.4%. That's a 25-year low point for that. And so, another one of the speakers at Jackson Hole, which is interesting, was the head, Christine Lagarde, from the ECB. And she's caught between a rock and a hard place because you've got clear signs that the European economy is going to be fading and that you've got weakness running through economic activity. But you've still got inflation higher than they would like. So she was more ambiguous than we've heard over recent times about what the ECB might be doing next. But clearly they're conflicted between what's happening in terms of rates, in terms of the economy softening, and the stickiness of inflation. This week, just watching, if anything, the events in the US probably allow the risk assets to lift a little through the course of this week. And you'd expect that if the US is running towards some sort of soft landing, that we've still got some pressure for risk assets to improve. We should still expect, I think, this change in yield curve shape too, where we've got this stickiness of longer term rates now above 4% in the case of the US, and probably for us too, where you can get the shorter term rates reacting a little bit to prospects that we're getting towards a peak in interest rates and that we come down at some point in the future. Just watching how that runs too, the market really is struggling to work out exactly where the neutral rate should be for a long-term bond yield, looking out over this higher inflation period over the next few years.